flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Our Browns beat reporter Daryl Ryder is brought to us by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Daryl, good afternoon to you, sir.
Hey, Daryl.
Hello, boys. How are we?
We are well. How are you? Because you sat there and peppered Tommy Reese with questions today. What was your impression?
I think Kevin Stefanski gets a standing ovation for the fastest walk-off in history. That was outstanding. Poor Jeff Schudel.
Explain what I missed.
Hey, Kevin, can we ask you a question? No.
And he left?
And then he got up and walked off.
It's beautiful.
I got the video up on my X. People can watch it. It's kind of pretty funny. My biggest takeaway, I think, from that presser is he's the new Alex Van Pelt.
Meaning what?
That he's basically going to do pretty much what AVP did when he was here from 2020 to 2023. Kevin's going to call the plays, which, fine, great. I mean, we all know Kevin's good at that, right? So, no suspense there, but, he's going to work with Kevin as far as, drawing stuff up on the whiteboard, as far as this offense goes and trying to repair what was a catastrophe this past season with Ken Dorsey at the helm. And then working with the quarterbacks, even though we have no idea what quarterbacks he's going to be working with this year. So it's going to be very interesting to see how they put together an offense, not knowing who their quarterback is going to be.
Daryl, because I couldn't see it, read the mood for Kevin when he said he would be calling the plays. It seemed like they were laughing a little bit afterwards, but we couldn't see it. So
No. The reason why we were laughing is because, he says he's not going to call plays, right? He goes through his introductory spiel, says he's not going to call plays. And then he says, and now, happy to bring up Tommy Reese, right? And so Jeff, God bless him, he says, hey, can we ask you a question real quick? And Kevin just looked and he goes, no. And he got up from the microphone and walked off for Tommy to come up, and that's why everybody was laughing.
Gotcha. All right, so what do you think his mood is about calling plays? Is this I thought last year when he handed over the plays to Ken Dorsey that he was like, I just got to do this. We'll get through it. Doesn't really matter if I call plays because the season's over for us anyway.
Yeah, I mean, it was the ultimate just throwing hands up in the air and saying, this ain't my circus, right? I think that that's what that was, and now they hit the reset button. They're going to rebuild the quarterback room. They're going to go probably back to a similar offense, which worked, right? I mean, that was my biggest complaint when they fired Alex Van Pelt, was I felt like they were breaking something that did not need to be fixed. And so they did. And, well, this is the result, that you get. As a result of it, total yards per game, ranked 28th, total yards per play, ranked 31st rather, rushing yards per game, 29th, rushing yards per attempt, 23, passing per game, 22, passing yards per play, 32, sacks per pass play, 30th, First downs per game, 27th. Third down efficiency, dead last, 32nd. Fourth down efficiency, well, they were kind of good there, 17th, or at least not as bad. Points per game, 32nd. So, like, I mean, they just totally destroyed a fully functioning offense last year to try and, you know, make things work with Deshaun Watson by bringing in Ken Dorsey. It was an unmitigated disaster. And so now, you know, Tommy Rees is an up-and-comer. He's highly regarded in coaching circles. He's thought to be an NFL head coach in waiting. He doesn't have the pressure of calling plays on him right now. So I think that this is a good opportunity for him to take the next step in his career. And with Kevin saying, you know, hey, I reserve the right to change my mind, I certainly could see at some point, maybe not this upcoming season, but at some point, assuming these guys are around beyond 2025, I could see a point where Tommy Rees does get an opportunity to call plays. But I don't think it's going to be this year.
Daryl Ryder joining us, our Browns beat reporter. You said he's going to basically be Alex Van Pelt. Obviously, there's going to be some differences. Otherwise, they'd have just hired Alex Van Pelt and brought him back.
Hey, it's cute. You think that Alex would want to come back?
Well, I would assume that he would want to have a job, but that's neither here nor there. I'm sure if they wanted Alex Van Pelt back, they could have got him back because he needs a job right now, and they could have patched things up. Obviously, there will be some differences, some kind of different philosophy, approach, whatever, Daryl. What might that be?
I you know, not real sure. I mean, it sounds like, based on what he said today, the tight ends are going to become a thing again, right? Because the first 4 years with Kevin Stefanski, tight ends were very integral in the offense, not just from a passing game standpoint, but run blocking standpoint as well. So the use of you know, multiple tight end sets, I think we're going to see more of that. But look, I think the difference in the offense is going to come down to whoever the heck the quarterback's going to be, and whether or not that player can execute what's in front of them. And that was another interesting thing that Rees talked about, was the quarterback and the volume of decisions that they have to make, not only during a single play, but just, you know, for a game, right? So you need a quick thinker out there as well that's going to make good, sound, solid decisions with the football, which obviously last year that was a little bit of a problem. So you know, I really think, Jeff, that whoever the quarterback or quarterbacks will be, I think that's really going to kind of dictate, you know, what this offense ultimately is going to look like, because Rees said a couple of times, you know, this is going to be predicated on the skill sets of the players, right? Well, right now you don't know what the skill sets of your quarterback are because you don't have a quarterback. So, you know, you think that there's a little wait and see to be had here.
Truthful opinion. You know, we sit here and we try to debate on whether, you know, the offensive coordinator is calling the plays or the head coach is calling the plays. If everything's right, shouldn't the play calling be kind of a no-brainer between the two of them anyway, going into the week, knowing that they go through hypotheticals throughout the week about, okay, if we're in this position, we should probably call this play or that play? In some ways, is play calling a little bit overrated because there is some groupthink that goes into what's happening on each play?
I mean, I won't say it's overrated, but I kind of like the fact that Kevin Stefanski has the car keys back. And Andy Reid calls plays. Nobody complains about that, mm-hmm. Right?
Well, how many of
Kevin's the
but
I mean,
here's a question for you.
This will shock people. Kevin Stefanski's not the first head coach to call his own plays.
No,
and he's
not going to
be the last.
But here's a question for you. I mean, how many times do you think Andy Reid's plays are broken? Like, as soon as you know, they say, hike, the play that he called might be over.
Yeah.
And then you've handed the ball to the quarterback, and he better be making the right call.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing what happens when you have a quarterback can think on his feet, right, mm-hmm. and play the game at an elite level. So now, guess what? Andy Reid looks like a genius, whereas, you know, Kevin Stefanski or Ken Dorsey, they don't look so good because the quarterback's not out there executing, and the offense is, you know, unwatchable. It's not producing first downs. They're not moving the football. They're not putting points on the scoreboard, right? So you're only as good as the players are executing on the field. So to me, that's the biggest area they need improvement, right? I mean, you can't have the volume of pre-snap penalties, the Browns. That's why I asked Reese today about that. You know, how do you get rid of that stuff? Because it was a major problem last year. Not only could you not line up correctly, but that you couldn't even execute basic motions correctly, right? You know, every week they're being out, well, you know, there's not enough motion being run in this offense. According to this metric here, you guys are ranked this. And it's like, well, they can't line up correctly. How are you expecting them to execute a motion? Because every time they execute a motion, a yellow hanky comes out. So that's execution. The coaches can't go out there and line up for them. And I liked what Reese said. And I don't want to say it was a shot at Dorsey, but I kind of think it was, right? When he said, hey, it's got to be a simple, concise set of instructions. And I'm paraphrasing there, but and so maybe the system last year was just a little too not so concise. And so, you know, that, you know, it created problems. And, you know, we heard it toward the end of the season, you know, the frustration with getting away from the wide zone blocking scheme and what that offensive line was actually built to do. They weren't being asked to do anymore. And then they were put in front of quarterbacks who couldn't execute. So, you know, and that's why you have half the locker room looking at each other like, why did they blow this thing up? Why did we have to spend an offseason learning a whole new offense and learning all these new drills, this, that, and the other? If none of it works. So I kind of have a feeling that they are going to turn back the clock a little bit. There's going to be a lot of the original Kevin Stefanski concepts reintroduced. I don't know about the language. But it also does sound like that Tommy Reese is going to be able to sprinkle in his own flavor as well.
Daryl Ryder is joining us. He's our Browns beat reporter. Tommy was asked about the quarterback he worked with at Alabama, Jalen Milroe. Didn't have much to say. Daryl, we've run some
sound. He was asked about a few quarterbacks and did not have much to say. I'm looking forward to the evaluation process, Jeff. That might be my answer to a few questions. Go ahead. Here we go. Let's try it out.
We found some sound of Tommy from the pre-Rose Bowl press conference in 2023 with Milroe as his quarterback, and he had a lot to say about Jalen Milroe.
Uh-huh.
I would think that the fact that they have a history and a relationship together does not really come into play whether he's the second pick in this draft or not. Yay or nay?
If he's the second pick in the draft, I might quit. He's
Browns,
not worth
take Milroe. There you go.
He's not worthy of the second pick in the draft, Jeff.
Daryl, I'm just saying. I've seen him in some mock drafts going number two. I've heard him. I've seen him listed as the most talented quarterback. I've seen him not even in the first round of Mel Kiper's mock draft. He's all over the place. My point is,
there's a reason for that, right?
Well,
that tells you all you need to know.
No, it doesn't. But
yeah, it does.
My point is,
nobody knows if he's any good.
Well, that's the point. Tommy Reese should know if he's any good. I wonder if that comes into play.
He's looking forward to evaluating the situation there, Jeffrey.
Okay. Well, he has evaluated him. I just wonder. I wouldn't take him at two myself.
I wouldn't either. But I just said I'll quit if they take him.
But I wonder. I wonder though.
I would be stunned.
But I wonder if they try to move up to get him.
Yeah. Well, I would be shocked if they took him at two. I really would.
Well, I would too. But that doesn't mean you still can't try to acquire a guy if somebody really likes him. I mean, they need somebody, Daryl. They're going to be looking for somebody. So wonder if that connection means anything to anybody other than Tommy Reese.
If someone wants to come up to two to get Milroe, go for it, man. Andrew Berry's taking your calls right now. I don't know what his phone number is there out in Berea, but he'll be glad to take your call if you want to come up to two so you can take him.
What do you think the Browns are going to do it to? If the draft was tomorrow, what do you think they would do positionally? I don't need a name.
Well, I said this on the morning show the other day. My gut tells me that they're going to do exactly what I don't want them to do.
Trade down?
No. Jeff, that's what I want them to do.
Draft
I'm begging and pleading for them to trade down. Or to do anything but picking a quarterback at number two. Like, I do not want them spending a first-round pick on these quarterbacks. This class isn't worthy. I'm going to, you know, in the next couple of weeks here, really kind of take a deeper dive. But based on everything that I've been reading so far, like even Cam at number one overall, I think is a reach. Shador at two, that's a reach. Like, I watched some of Colorado's games this year live. I was not at all impressed with Shador Sanders. Took a lot of sacks. I don't think the arm's all that great. Like, I just, you know, I'm not buying the hype. That I don't buy the hype with any of these quarterbacks. I'm fine. You want to spend a mid-round pick on a guy, throw a little something against the wall? Sure, no problem. But spending a high top five first-round pick on one of these quarterbacks, I think you're reaching.
So what do you do?
I trade down, hopefully, preferably stay in the top eight, and then collect an extra draft pick for the first round in 2026. And now I have the ammunition of my first round pick, the first round pick I acquired, plus I have my first round pick in 2027. That gives me three first rounders to move up and go get a quarterback next year. I think this year is a bide your time. Get as much of the offense and the team back together and functioning as humanly possible this year, but next year aim for drafting one of those, you know, top quarterbacks, because I have to think that the quarterback class coming out next year is going to be much, much better than the one that's coming out this year.
Tommy Reese said, with defensive players being as skilled, as athletic as they are now, you need quarterbacks who can create and extend plays.
Mm-hmm.
Was that just lip service, or was that just telling?
No, what did you just ask earlier about Andy Reid and play calling and busted plays right out of the gate, right? I mean, that's why you need that. Things do not go, you know, as smoothly as we expect or we think they go, even in success. Right, I mean, there's so many instances when you're watching games where, yeah, there are busted offensive plays, but the quarterbacks are able to extend and able to make something out of nothing, of those broken plays, and that's what you need to be successful in the NFL. And there are different tiers of guys with those capabilities. Right, tier one is Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson. Right, I mean, that's what you need. I'll put Joe Burrow in there too. I got to put Burrow in there too. So, the Browns have to find that guy that can do that. It, not only can you execute the basics, but when stuff is hitting the fan and not going well or going right, or a play breaks down right out of the gate, you know, what can you do to salvage it? You know, make good decisions, whether it's throwing the ball away, whether it's being patient as you're extending the play outside the pocket and looking down the field, waiting for somebody to get open, or having the confidence to throw to a spot with the expectation that your receiver's going to do their job and be where they're supposed to be when they're supposed to be there, right? That's all, you know, part of that job. And just, it's, you know, unfortunately, the Browns, you know, have been unable to find that guy. And, they're back in the market looking for it. But, you know, I think that's what, you know, Tommy Reese was talking about. Not so much that you need an RPO quarterback, but you need a guy that can salvage things when they go south in the middle of a play.
Daryl, we have 1 minute. Any updates, or are things all quiet on the dome front? 1 minute.
Things have kind of calmed down. I think they've exchanged their wars of words right now, and you know, I know the Browns are still trying to work behind the scenes to, get the financing together, and we're still waiting on these, the legal portion of it, right, and the courtroom portion of it to take place and ultimately get resolved.
All quiet at the airport, then. Okay.
Well, until Daryl goes to pick up the guy they take it to, the quarterback.
I'm going to tell you what, man. if they take Milroe, I that might give me the big one. Like, I know at some point in life the big one's coming. If they take him at two, I might have the big one.
I didn't say him. I said whoever they took quarterback at two.
Well, if they take a quarterback two, I still may have the big one.
All right.
Thank you, buddy.
Elizabeth's calling on line one. Go.
Elizabeth. Thank you, D.
You bet, guys. Have a good weekend.
It's our Browns beat reporter, Daryl Ryder. He's brought to us by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. That's our Browns beat reporter, Daryl Ryder, with a ringing endorsement of Jalen Milroe, the quarterback from Alabama, who Tommy Reese coordinated during his first year as a starter there with the Crimson Tide.
He might be coming, Elizabeth. He might be coming. I'm coming to see you.
Daryl was fun. I'm Jeff Phelps. My partner's Andy Baskin. Menigan's flying the ship today, taking your phone calls at 216-474-0092, Miss Meredith Kane, along with doing 2020s. You know, we're talking about all these quarterbacks, and today with Reese talking, we talked about Milroe. And I know what Daryl just said about quarterbacks at two and everything else. We know quarterbacks are going 1-2 in this draft, don't we?
I don't know if we know that.
Seriously, don't we?
I don't know if we know that.
I don't know who's taking them, but I think quarterbacks are going 1-2. Now, Tennessee did just say, the president of Tennessee's football ops said,
yeah, the new dude,
we're not going to pass on a generational talent.
Right.
Which to me, that screamed to me, oh, so you're going to take Travis Hunter. That's what that screamed to me.
That's why we don't know.
Yeah, I know. That's the thing. But do you trade out of that to a team that needs a quarterback and thinks that one of these guys is going to be your guy? See, that's the catch here. There is no Baker Mayfield. There's no Josh Allen. There's no Sam Darnold in this draft. I mean, Lamar Jackson was in that draft and nobody wanted him, and look how that's worked out. But you know, there were pretty clear-cut guys, right? Who you thought these are high-end quarterbacks. Nobody thinks any of these quarterbacks is worth a hoot until one team does. And then two teams think that this guy's worth a hoot. And all of a sudden, the Giants trade up to get Cam Ward, or the Giants trade up for Sanders. And so that's why, despite the questions surrounding these guys, the Browns are in, you know, read some of the national things. They say the Browns are in such a phenomenal position with that second pick in the draft. And what if Tom Brady thinks, man, I love Shedeur Sanders, and Mark Davis listens to me, yeah, and they trade up?
Yeah, I mean, right here, Adam Schefter, the Tennessee Titans will not pass on a generational talent. They are not locked in at quarterback.
Good.
At one.
That, you know what that means? Means that they'll be going through the scrap heap of guys that we've been talking about, and let's find us a quarterback. And there are lots of them out there. And that's why nobody has to do that this year. But we all know the way it works. One, two, three teams are going to decide that these young quarterbacks are the guys they have to have, which puts the Browns in a really, really enviable position, because that trade could be auctioned off to more than a couple of teams. They could make a real haul.
Can you go back to that tweet again, right? The tweet that you just read. And it just seems to me, so Tennessee is not locked in to a quarterback, right?
No, they say they're not going to pass up on a generational talent. Well, the only person that you hear in this draft who anybody says is a generational talent is Travis Hunter, the DB wide receiver from Colorado.
Okay, then that would be their guy. Is that what you're trying to read into?
No, I don't think it's reading into anything. But he's strictly he's the only guy in the draft who you think is generational talent. Now, they might not pass on one, but they might not take one because they get an offer they can't refuse to trade out.
True, but I mean, if I'm Tennessee, I'm not tipping my hand to anybody right now, especially if I think there's a chance I could trade it. So for them,
that comment may have done nothing but up the price, or they could take the guy.
Yeah, I mean, they can have anybody they want. I don't know why, if they really, again, I'll go back to the theory of, if you really want them, go out and take them. But Tennessee, I mean, they've got a lot of needs. I mean, and so do the Browns.
So does the team drafting number two. Just going to say,
I mean, absolutely. This is the thing that you're in the middle of right now, is it's like
silly.
You're hearing it from everybody. You know, you're, well, we've got this spot. We got to take a quarterback. We're never going to be this high again. We got to take a quarterback. It's like, no, don't do it.
I agree with you.
Don't do it. Like that to me is like, I've gone to Seattle and I'm going to go whale watching, but I also get incredibly seasick, but I have to do this because I'm in Seattle. And it's like, no, you don't. If you get seasick, you don't have to do this. We're trying to make fetch happen. That's really what this is, guys. We're trying to make fetch happen. And it's like, forget it.
I've said this before, and you know, these quarterbacks coming out, I thought Milroe looked really intriguing you know, in watching a lot of tape on him.
Daryl didn't, that's for sure.
Daryl didn't say he didn't look intriguing.
Oh my God, he laughed at you right in your face, Jeff. He literally right in your face and said,
No, he didn't. What he did was didn't listen to what I asked him.
Laughed at me.
Stop,
heard you.
Please. Stop.
No, I'm telling you.
Because you're not listening to what I'm going to say either.
No, because you're going to roll through anything I say anyway.
The Browns should take him at 2. What I asked him was, does Tommy Rees's relationship with him have anything to do with the Browns' interest, perhaps? And Daryl said, no, I'm not taking him at 2. I never said that. What I said was, does the interest, you know, the past relationship have anything to do with maybe the Browns being interested in this guy? I never mentioned the second pick. I wouldn't take him at 2. But, you know, so Daryl wasn't laughing in my face. And if he wants to, that's fine. He's done it before. But what he didn't do was listen to what I said because he cut me off. So that's okay. And that's all right. He's allowed to do that. But what my thought was if they have an interest in him and they trade down from 2, they could trade back up later in the first round if Milroe's still on the board. Andrew Filippone from our sister station in Pittsburgh has sources telling him the Steelers are all over Jalen Milroe and they love him. Somebody's going to like these guys and draft him. The thing that still appeals to me most, unless the Browns decide through their own evaluation that, yes, fill in the blank is the guy who can be our quarterback for the next decade, I love the idea of signing a veteran free agent and a young free agent and coach him up. I mean, you got a guy who was a former quarterback at Notre Dame as your offensive coordinator. He's been a college coordinator. Coach him up. Does that mean Zach Wilson? Does that mean Justin Fields? Does that mean Trey Lance? Does that mean Kyle Trask? If it means get one of those young guys and bring in Kirk Cousins, bring in Russell Wilson, bring in Jimmy Garoppolo, and go that route. To me, that's intriguing.
All I know is that when you're saying that, hang on a second, Hermes, is that what Daryl said was that it was almost a joke that we would think about drafting him. Because he laughed when you brought it up.
We're just talking about a guy. We never said the whole purpose of this whole thing
is. Now you stop. You told me to stop. Now I'm going to tell you to stop. Daryl laughed at the notion.
I never presented the notion of taking him at 2.
You're not listening.
We were presenting information about him.
Jeff, I'm telling you what Daryl said, and for a guy that works with him once a week too, or twice a week too, Daryl, and it's not you personally, he's laughing at the thought of taking him. He doesn't think he's the guy that the Browns need. Now,
well,
whether that
good.
Was at 2 or later on. The other thing is this notion of trying to get a quarterback for more than 10 years. Like, we're lucky if we have a quarterback here since 99. What's the longest we've had a quarterback? 3?
If you're drafting that high and drafting somebody at that position that high, that you have them for a decade. That's the hope. I mean, it's working in Kansas City. It's working in Buffalo. Why can't it work here?
It hasn't. That's the problem. Like, Tim Couch was here 4 years, right?
And sometimes you get the EJ Manuel draft.
There you go. And sometimes you draft the guy in the 6th round and he's the best quarterback ever.
Sometimes you get the Kenny Pickett draft. It happens.
There it is. 216-474-0092, number to join us. NFL awards coming out. Some love for the Browns here. How about that? It's coming up on Baskin and Phelps.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Andy Baskin. I'm Jeff Phelps. Meredith manning the phones. 216-474-0092 and Dan Menigan producing this mess. The NFL has announced there are finalists for the big awards. The big awards. And that's a good thing. And scroll through it and see the Browns.
I'm scrolling.
Scroll suit.
Scroll, I see one.
There, see the, one. The Brown. There's only one Brown up for any of the awards. And it would be Myles Garrett for Defensive Player of the Year. So that's a good thing. Let me throw these at you. Give me your choices. I'll give you mine.
All right, where are we starting?
Most Valuable Player, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, Jared Goff, Saquon Barkley.
When do votes have to be in?
I have no idea.
Right now, I'm leaning towards Josh Allen. So I would say Josh Allen. If the Bengals had made the playoffs, I would have said Joe Burrow.
Saquon Barkley.
Mm.
Running back, wins MVP. He's made all the difference in that team, I think. Dano?
I think it's Josh Allen. I think he pulled a little bit ahead of Lamar Jackson at the tail end of it. Josh Allen gets his MVP.
I hope so. I think he deserves it. I think Saquon will get it because I think he's made the biggest difference on his team this year. Although I will say the Bills could use some extra firepower on that offense, and Josh surprised it all.
It's amazing the mountain the Bengals climbed with Joe Burrow, though, and like had no support on defense. So.
This was supposed to be the rebuild year for the Bills. Everybody offensive, looked at it going, this is the retool.
Offensive player of the year, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Saquon Barkley, Derrick Henry, Ja'Marr Chase.
Is this like the runner-up award?
Basically.
Okay.
No, the one is MVP. It could be a defensive player.
But there are none.
It could be a kicker.
It could be a kicker.
Hey, you're cute when you're like this.
Maybe, hell, for the Browns, it's a punter.
See, I'm more apt to give Barkley the Offensive Player of the Year award here. Although, again, it's hard not to look at Burrow and
he's going to win one of those, isn't he?
Yeah, I think so. I think Barkley gets one.
The fact that Josh Allen isn't up for this award but is up for the MVP award, maybe that's telling you something. No?
Yeah. No, maybe. I agree. Yeah.
Defensive Player of the Year, Myles Garrett, Trey Hendrickson, T.J. Watt, Zach Bond of the Eagles, Patrick Surtain of the Broncos. I'll bet you.
This could be interesting.
I'll bet you that goes to Patrick Surtain. He's really good.
I can agree. I'll buy that. If he wins it, I'm not going to have any problem with it. But if T.J. Watt wins it, we're going to hear it from Browns fans. If Myles Garrett wins it, Steeler fans are going to be upset.
Myles
I don't really
is
care,
tremendous. But his team won 3 games.
That's the problem.
That's not happening.
Bengals,
Trey Hendrickson didn't make the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, the Bengals defense stopped Joe Burrow from winning other awards.
Offensive Rookie of the Year.
Ooh, I think that's...
Jaden Daniels, Commanders, Bo Nix, Broncos. Malik Nabers, Brian Thomas, Brock Bowers, who set receiving records for rookies that have never been done before in NFL history.
The fact that we're still watching Jaden Daniels play means he by a landslide.
This is all voted on before.
It's already.
Yeah, that's what I was asking. They already voted on it?
Sorry. Yes, they already voted on it. Sorry, I misunderstood you.
I still think it's Jaden Daniels.
In any other year, I think Brock Bowers wins this award. Not this year. I think it's Jaden Daniels all day long.
Okay.
And if Malik Nabers had been healthy, it might have been him. But he missed time. He had a concussion. He missed time.
It's really hard when Jaden Daniels rolls in and looks as good as he did throughout
this
season.
Remember how good Malik Nabers was before he got dinged up?
Malik Nabers was awesome.
He was silly good.
He was awesome.
He was silly good.
Absolutely. It's just... We know how this all works.
You're going Daniels?
Yeah, sadly. And I would love to give it to Brock Bowers and buck some trends, but sadly we know how this
Brock
goes.
Brock Bowers is good. He's really good. Defensive Rookie of the Year, a Braden Fisk, Jared Verse of the Rams, who I loved how he shot his mouth off. That was really, seriously, I did like that. When he talked about how he hated Philly fans.
Jared Verse is really good.
He's really good.
He's really good. Really good. Oh, yeah. That guy's going to be a problem.
Chop Robinson, Quinyon Mitchell, and Cooper DeJean. It's got to be Verse, right?
He destroyed quarterbacks all year long. I mean, what do you have, 11 tackles for loss?
His pressure rate's insane.
Yeah.
I mean, the sacks may not be at the level that they needed to be, but his pressure rate is nuts.
What's this say, though?
If they gave it to DeJean, I wouldn't be shocked.
There are five nominees. Two of them are Rams and two of them are Eagles. Good for them, huh? Good for them.
Good point.
Comeback player of the year. Joe Burrow of the Bengals, Sam Darnold of the Vikings, J.K. Dobbins, Chargers, Patriots corner, Christian Gonzalez, and DeMar Hamlin of the Bills. Now, this is interesting because this goes back to the criteria of what did you come back from?
Mm-hmm.
Joe Burrow was dinged up last year, right? Had the wrist injury. But he clearly has played at an extremely high level before and was arguably the best quarterback in the league this year. Sam Darnold came back from never having a really good season in his career.
Yeah, what was the – he didn't have an injury.
I don't know. Like,
yeah, I don't.
See, to me, Sam Darnold gets the most improved player award, but they don't give that out. J.K. Dobbins, of course, was really good in Baltimore, had a big injury, was very good with the Chargers. Christian Gonzalez fits, to me, kind of like Sam Darnold. Christian's a really good young corner for the Patriots, but he got hurt in, I think, the fifth game last year.
Mm-hmm.
And just got hurt. So even though he played at a really high level for a short period of time, didn't have to come back from, you know what I mean?
Yep.
And then DeMar Hamlin came back from being dead.
I think they get this right. He probably should have won it last year. I mean, I know we were talking about Flacco.
I kind of think he should have, too.
So I think that this is a chance to right the wrong. Hamlin gets it. He should get it.
To me, that's coming back from something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
DeMar won it last year. This is terrible to say. DeMar never came back from that, you know, being a Pro Bowl caliber guy or anything like that. He just actually came back.
Yeah,
he's on a starter and a pretty good player for the Bills defense.
Yeah,
as well.
Yes. Without question. Yeah. But it's not like he's, you know, going to anybody's Pro Bowl on a regular basis.
Yeah, but I think
I still give it to him.
Death to starter is probably bigger than any other. I
mean, this is.
I'm sorry. I mean, I love the fact Joe Flacco won it last year, but DeMar Hamlin truly deserves it. The fact that he was on the field for any game at all, the fact that people are able to talk to him makes him the comeback player of the year.
Yes. Coach of the year, Dan Campbell, Kevin O'Connell, Sean Payton, Dan Quinn, Andy Reid. I'm going to go off the board.
Can you?
Dan Quinn.
Oh, that's off the board?
Kind of. I think he's the one that probably doesn't win it, but should. What'd they win, 4 games last year?
Yeah.
And he's got him in the NFC Championship
second
game.
Pick in the
got
draft.
Him in the playoffs.
It's kind of hard not to look at Kevin Campbell O'Connell.
Kevin O'Connell won 14 regular season games with a team that nobody thought would win 14.
Yes.
Sean Payton turned around the mess in Denver. Of course, you know, he had it for a year. And Andy Reid is Andy Reid. Which means, you know, he's not going to get the credit he deserves for a great season.
Truthfully, I'd give it to Campbell, but I think I Kevin O'Connell, man, it's hard to argue with that record. Sean Payton did a fantastic. I mean,
but boy, did Dan Quinn turn things around in Washington.
And if the Chiefs hadn't won 2 Super Bowls earlier, hard to argue with the Chiefs too.
This is typically.
I mean, they're figuring out ways to win games like closer than they've ever had to win before, whether it's luck or coaching.
This is typically the I overcame the most adversity award or the oops, you're better than we thought you would be. And so now we have to make good on the fact that we're better than
your
we thought.
Your team did stink, but it didn't this year.
Right. So that's what
then
I think.
That's Washington.
Yeah. It's either going to be Dan Quinn or it's going to be Kevin O'Connell.
Yeah.
And so I'll lean Dan Quinn just because it feels like that franchise has been so downtrodden for so long that like the fact that they're now back, it feels like Dan Quinn.
Assistant coach of the year. Joe Brady, Bills OC, Eagles defensive coordinator Vic Fangio, Lions OC Ben Johnson, Lions DC Aaron Glenn, or Vikings defensive coordinator Brian Flores, who as of yet hasn't received a head coaching job. All 5 of those guys are deserving.
Yeah,
they were really good.
And really, would you rather have the job or the award? I'll take a head coach's job any day of the week over the award. Sorry.
Well, that's true.
I know it is an honor just to be nominated, but let's be honest, it's much better honor to get a giant paycheck.
You like me. You really like me.
That's great.
So only
I'm Aaron Glenn on that one, just due to the fact that the entire Lions defense was consisted of people going, "Hi, what's your name? What position do you play again? Oh, sure, come on in. We'd love to have you."
But their defense wasn't great.
Yeah, but it was, "Hi, what's your name? Who are you?"
So does that mean Alex?
Come on down.
Does that mean Alex Van Pelt last year should have won the award?
Hi, nice to meet you. What's your name?
Seriously,
it's kind of. But that's kind of the way that they look at this. Joe Brady winning it would not shock me in the slightest because that Bills offense.
But I guess
any one of those guys is deserving.
You already said the voting's in, but how about Ben Johnson calling out Matt LaFleur?
It's awesome. It's awesome.
And I enjoy beating them twice.
Heck yeah. I love it, man. I want the Bears to be good because I want this to be a rivalry again. I really do. I want the Bears to be good. More good quarterbacks equals more good teams, which equals more good football.
All right, your Packer fandom makes your analysis worthwhile then.
Yeah.
At first, when I heard it, I was like, are you really saying that? I mean, like,
let's go.
Really? Talk is cheap. You got to go out and win. Google them. You'll find out.
Does anybody, any Browns should be on that list for any of those things?
I don't, was punter of the year not, in there? I don't know.
No.
And is there a punter of the year?
And though you wanted him as the Browns MVP, and he might be, he's not going to be in that conversation.
I wasn't the only one.
No, I know. So did Tyvus.
I know. I would write it down, and then Tyvus would sit across me during the pregame show, and I'd be like, okay. And we'd be talking about good players. And then then he would say it on the air, and then I would pick up my piece of paper, and I would... Corey's name was right there.
A 19-0 run, and then a terrible finish. What was terrible last night in Houston? We'll explain next on Baskin and Phelps.